Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. We've been working our way through Paul's letters to Timothy, and we've come to his second letter and to the last chapter, chapter 4. Now, Paul, writing this, is seemingly very conscious that his time on earth may well be coming to an end. This isn't a morbid letter in any way, but clearly, you know, Paul sensed that maybe the purposes of God for him were coming to a conclusion and that he was soon going to be with Jesus. And so I think that's why when he's writing to someone like Timothy, he says, I give you this charge. It's like a legacy. It's like saying, you know, Timothy, I'm really urging you to get hold of this. I want you to preach the word. I want you to be ready in season, out of season. I want you to learn to handle the word of God in such a way that you're able to correct, rebuke, encourage and strengthen people. And Timothy, it's getting serious because there have been times when you've like deputized for me and I've turned up. But Timothy, the time is coming when I won't be turning up and when it's down to you to actually do the work of God, minister the word of God, preach the gospel. And so I think that's very much behind what Paul is saying in this chapter. It's an urgent message. It's a strong message. It's not meant to crush Timothy and make him feel overwhelmed, but it is saying, Timothy, if there's ever been a time to get serious, this is the time. And again, he refers to the fact that the days in which they're living, and sadly still true today, are days of deception and false teaching and people being happy to hear what they want to hear, but very adverse and even outrageously strong to people who tell them what they don't really want to hear. But again, Paul comes back to the sense of, look, you need to keep your head, Timothy. You need to handle hardships and persecution. Discharge all the duties of your ministry, for I'm ready to be poured out like a drink offering. The language that Paul uses is really quite graphic. You know, poured out. The whole sense of if you pour out, say, water from a cup, you won't get it back. You pour it out and it goes and it disappears and it's gone. But Paul is saying, look, my life, I've sought to do that all the way through, but now the time is coming. I'm just going to pour out my life, and I know that I'm going to be with Jesus. And he says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Each of those phrases can be unpicked. We haven't time now in this first half of the program to do that. But they're powerful phrases. And what Paul is saying is that I believe that there is for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord is going to give me. Now, he's not in any sense being arrogant. He's not being proud. And he's not saying it from the angle of I deserve it. But Paul has lived for Christ. He has sacrificed. He has offered himself and got into all sorts of trouble and pain and grief because of his obedience to the gospel. And he has a sense from Jesus himself that there is a reward for that. Oh, there's lots of people that he wants to mention. Some people have been very faithful to him and very strong. But some people like Alexander the metal worker and one or two others who clearly had given him a lot of flack and a lot of difficulty. He's aware that some have gone to the lions. This is that time in history. They've laid down their life. But with those who hold the gospel he holds, he exhorts and blesses them and just desires the Lord to be with Timothy's spirit, even as the Spirit is upon Paul. We must pause for some worship, after which my good friend Patrick will join to share and open up a little bit more of chapter 4.
What a friend I found. He is faithful and true. What a friend I found. He has never let me down.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look a little further at these verses from the second letter of Timothy, chapter 4, the final chapter in this book, Richard. And it's a continuation to some extent, isn't it, of chapter 3. He's continuing to advise Timothy on, you know, how he should be, how he should live, what he should do. And there is that, as you say, that sense of these being Paul's kind of final words. Paul seems to be aware that people can be very fickle, that, you know, they don't hold necessarily on to what he calls, you know, true right doctrine, but they wander off and can believe all sorts of things. I guess people haven't changed.
No, they haven't. And I think you're right. I think that Paul is so concerned for people to be grounded in the Word of God, because he knows that if it's just emotion, if it's just out of their own understanding, then that's going to be very insecure, and that will be like the waves of the sea just tossing to and fro. But his exhortation is ground people, root people, help people to get deep into God so that they stand when the floods come and the challenges come.
I suppose what he says to Timothy is the same as what he might say today to a church leader. The role in that sense hasn't really changed, has it?
No, it hasn't. And still today, people will get the wrong ideas, they will misunderstand key doctrines. They will generalise, they will be superficial, instead of having a good and solid grasp of what the gospel really is. So Paul's charge to Timothy indeed is a charge to all those who have God's people under their care.
What do you think is going on in Paul's head at this time? Because as you say, he's clearly aware that perhaps his life is coming to an end. You know, at one point he says, I've finished the race. So is he still, is he very much thinking about what's next for him?
It very much seems the case that he has, I mean, there was a time when he was with the Philippians, and he said, you know, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. To be with Christ for me is far better, but actually I think I should stay around for your sake.
Mm.
Now, that's not what he's saying here.
No.
He hasn't lost the heart of that.
Mm.
But really, he's saying, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And I believe my end is imminent.
Yeah. And in that frame of mind, you get some very interesting insights, don't you, in some of these personal comments that he makes at the end. I mean, I particularly picked up, you know, verse 12, bring my cloak, you know,
yes.
A very personal, practical need. He's, you know, he's probably, I guess, he's not a well man if he's, you know, perhaps in his final days. He's on his own, it seems. He's, you know, he's lonely. He wants Timothy to come and see him. You get all that kind of sense, don't you?
Yeah, very, very, very much so. And also the parchments, his writing.
Yeah.
Was a real blessing to him in these latter days. He so much loved to go out and preach and stand in the open air and proclaim Christ. But when he's shut up in the prison, well, he's writing.
Yeah.
And of course, we thank God for that. But for him, writing implements, parchment, whatever, was very precious in that situation.
Yeah. So you see a man who is, you know, who is frail, but he's by no means fallen, is he? You know, he physically, he may be struggling, but you can still sense that powerful, strong, driving faith that drives him along, can't you?
Very much, again, is the case. And I like that verse 18. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom.
Mm.
That's his conviction. He's not given up. He knows the Lord will take him through.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at God's Word in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.